As you see tonight, we're going to be talking about living in the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking before, a little bit earlier, I thought, you know, we know that God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And yet all three persons of the Trinity have been misrepresented over time. You know, the Father, what have we thought about him? He's harsh, he's judgmental, he's out to get us. And then as we study the Word of God, we realize what a loving Father we have. And then Jesus, oh, he was a good guy. He was a prophet, you know. And then when we study the Bible, we realize that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh, and he died for our sins. And then the Holy Spirit, you know, he used to be called the Holy Ghost. You know, and who wants to learn anything about a Holy Ghost? Even if it's holy, it's still, ooh, you know. And so we become, as Christians, we become comfortable with the Father, and we become comfortable with the Son, and we trust them. But somehow we start thinking the Holy Spirit has this different role where he's just going to take over and make us do weird things. We don't think the Father will make us do that, or Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, we have a different idea about him. I grew up in a denomination that had a different idea about the Holy Spirit, and so I was very closed for a long time. This isn't a message just for mature believers. Do you remember Cornelius? The Holy Spirit fell on him and his household the moment they believed. You have the whole book of Acts is the early church, right? It's all pretty much new Christians that the Holy Spirit was working through. So don't close down on me is what I'm saying. I've been teaching studies here on the Holy Spirit for probably about 20 years, off and on, mostly on. I began teaching on the subject 1 month after Dale and I came to Calvary Chapel El Cajon at the request of the Women's Board. They wanted a workshop on the Holy Spirit. Workshops about the gifts of the Holy Spirit were the norm where I came from. I came from Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. You know, Costa Mesa was the very first Calvary Chapel. And we who claim to be Calvary Chapel should follow the theology of Calvary Chapel. We were in the process of moving to El Cajon from Orange County, and I didn't have time to put the workshop together, so I asked someone that was loved to teach on the Holy Spirit from Costa Mesa to come down and teach. And what ensued from her workshop could have been described as chaos. Those who were not used to seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit in action called what was happening in the room chaos. And many ladies in the room were receiving their prayer language, so they're speaking in tongues, and some believe there should be an interpretation, but this was not the kind of speaking in tongues that required interpretation. They were just praying to the Lord. And I was told that Calvary Chapel was, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but no one ever talks about doing them. That's not right. Oh, and so looking back, I think I would have really described what was going on outside the room where people were very upset, pointing fingers, raising voices, some even calling the board. I think I would have called that chaos. And it was interesting because, you know, we're brand new. And I got home and walked into our home, and Dale was sitting on the couch, and he said, "What did you do?" I said, "I never saw it coming." But the product of that, or what happened after that, is I thought, I need to know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. I was brought up in a denomination that believed in the gifts, that did not believe in the gifts. Now I'm in a denomination or non-denomination of Calvary Chapel that believes in the gifts. You know, what does the Bible say? So I printed out every verse on the Holy Spirit. I printed out every verse on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I printed out every verse on speaking in tongues. And then I put together a workshop based on what I believe the Word of God says about the working of the Holy Spirit. I've learned more over the years than just what the Bible says about the gifts, I've learned that teaching on the Holy Spirit is very difficult subject, chaos-provoking subject to teach on, because it seems to provoke a lot of emotions, among them real anger. And I have had people so angry at me for teaching what I sincerely believe God says, where I have come back to the room and said to G, I'm done. I'm never doing this again. It's just too hard. But then I see the Lord touch lives, and I see the Holy Spirit empower lives, and I want to be a part of that. And I have come to that place where I feel like, as your pastor's wife, I would be negligent to not teach on this, because it is life-changing. I think I've learned to be more sensitive to others too. As many have seen some real misuses and abuses of the gifts, and many are afraid because of what they've seen, and then that fear of the unknown, especially that fear of losing control. Functioning in the gifts of the Spirit is not being controlled by the Spirit, but rather it's choosing what the Holy Spirit is telling us or showing us to do, equipped with His power to do it. It's like if I told you, I want you to go to the mall at Murrieta here, and you said, okay, I supplied the car for you to drive. You're in control of driving the car. You got in, drove to the mall. You wouldn't have done it if I wouldn't have suggested it, and you couldn't have done it if I hadn't provided the car, right? So when you arrived at the mall, you know you did so in obedience to what I had asked and in the power I provided. And that's the working of the Holy Spirit. It's obeying the promptings when He speaks to your mind, and we'll talk about that in a minute, or speaks to your heart, in His power. But as you drive to the mall, you could have got out of the car anytime you wanted to. You could have said, I want to stop driving. So many people, I think, feel like that giving in or yielding to the Holy Spirit is like getting on a roller coaster at Disneyland, you know, and you get in and all of a sudden it's just, you're totally, you know, the roller coaster's in control, not you, and you're dipping and riding all around and you go, whoa, I want to stop, and you can't. And so many people think that living or functioning according to the gifts of the Holy Spirit is like that. A couple years ago, I was leading an afterglow at a retreat, and I have learned in leading an afterglow to never leave the stage, because that's when strange things can happen, and we don't want that. And so a lady walked up to me at the stage, and she asked for prayer, and I looked at her, and I knew I was supposed to pray for her. And she said, I want you to pray for me for my prayer language. Well, I've never said this before, but I laid my hands on her, and I just said, just say it. That's all I said. Never, ever done that before. Well, she immediately started speaking in tongues. But she was loud, and she was emotional, and she's front and center. And I'm just thinking, oh, no. You know, she has got all the attention drawn to her. And I thought, what am I going to do, Lord? And I felt like He told me to use it as a teaching moment. So I said to the ladies, you probably heard, we'll call her name Mary. You probably heard Mary speaking really loudly and very emotionally in tongues. And I turned to her and I asked her two questions. I said, do you tend to react emotionally and loudly when something touches you? What did she say? Yes, that's what I do. And then I said, were you in control the whole time? I mean, could you have stopped any time you wanted to? And again, her answer was yes. And so sometimes people that react loudly or emotionally when the Holy Spirit moves on them, they react loudly and emotionally. They can stop anytime they want. But what I find is, you that are quiet or analytical like me, you see something like that and you say, no, thank you. You know, no way am I going to have a bunch of people watch me react that way. That's weird. Well, I can tell you, you won't. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you are always in control. The gifts of the Spirit are subject to the prophets. They're subject to you. You're in control. This particular message tonight is different than I've ever taught, a lot of it. It was prompted by a statement made by a woman at the East Coast Pastors Wives Retreat last month. I had taught a retreat at her church about 3 years ago, and her pastor's wife asked me if I might just take some time to meet with her and about seven of her leaders. So we were able to do that one afternoon. And we sat in a circle, and it was so fun. They just started asking questions. And one of the ladies, she was so excited, and she said, "I just want to be about the Holy Spirit like you West Coast ladies." And I said, "Like, what are you seeing?" And she said, "You ladies, you listen to the Holy Spirit. You expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You expect him to lead you. You expect him to guide you." And I said, "Like, who are you talking about?" And she gave me some names, and I said, "We all came from the tent days, Costa Mesa. We learn very early in our walks to expect the Holy Spirit to work." I said, "But that's not West Coast anymore. We've just set aside the things of the Spirit because some people have acted strangely. And now we as a Calvary Chapel, we don't see people functioning and listening and being led by the Holy Spirit like we did in those early days." And then Gia texted me one day that I was planning to work on this message, and she said, "I'd love to tell you what I'd like to hear you say about the Holy Spirit." Now, Gia has heard me speak on the Holy Spirit more times than anybody, for sure. And all my messages aren't the same, but they definitely have similarities because hopefully I'm teaching from God's Word. But this is what she said to me. She said, "Give a picture of what the gifts look like in everyday life." Because so often when we talk about the gifts, what do we say? We talk about how the gifts are used in an afterglow situation. When the Holy Spirit wants to work a lot more in our lives than just in afterglows. And that's the goal of this message tonight. And I think if we're sensitive to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life, that's going to spill over in afterglows. The Holy Spirit never intended to limit himself to working in afterglows. But it's kind of like retreats. The Lord, probably all experience this, he's able to move more in our lives at retreats. Why? Because we come here expecting him to work, don't we? And so he works more freely in an afterglow situation for the same reason. We expect him to work. We pay attention. But his intention is that we use the gifts to build up ourselves and to build up others every day of our lives. I'm a thinker. I'm an analyzer. Most of the time, by the time something comes out of my mouth, I've thought it through quite a bit. But what I have learned is I get so tired of my analytical brain sometimes, you know, analyzing things to death. And it's so wonderful for me to sense a prompting of the Holy Spirit and just do what he says. And that's why I do this all the time and teach this all the time, because I found this part of walking with the Lord being neglected in our lives. And we get saved, but we still lean on our own understanding. And we're so afraid of yielding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I can go back to me anytime I want to. Go back to my own thinking. You can yield to the Holy Spirit and you can think, "Oh, well, I want to think about this." You know, it's, again, it's not, the Holy Spirit doesn't take over ever. But I really started to wonder, why do I worship my brain so much? You know, above the Holy Spirit's prompting. I want to do God things. And you know what? You and I cannot do God things without God's power. If you can do your day without the power of the Holy Spirit, then you've simply done your day in your power. Both of my mentors taught me the same thing. I remember when one was dying of a brain tumor, and I was already living in the San Diego area, and she was in Newport Beach, and I called her, and I just said, "Barbara, I just want to come sit at your feet. I just want to glean from you and tell me what you want me to know." And she agreed. And I after we talked for a while, I said, if you could tell me anything, what is important for me? And she looked at me and she said, listen to the Holy Spirit. Out of everything Barbara could have taught me, she said, listen to the Holy Spirit. And that advice changed my life. And I've never been disappointed in listening to him and yielding to his guidance and his empowering. I really sincerely wish he would take control of my life. I don't know why we're so afraid of that, to let God just take control, but he won't do it. He never will. He values your choice and my choice too much to do that. To live in the work of the Holy Spirit, it's helpful to understand what he does. So I want to start there tonight briefly. There are three prepositions that describe the work of the Holy Spirit. One is para, meaning alongside. Before we were saved, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and draws us to Jesus. Then secondly, the word en, E-N, which really means I-N, in. The act of the Holy Spirit, the moment we believe Jesus, to save us. John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with, that's para, you, and he will be in you. They had not come to that saving knowledge of Jesus yet. So at this point, Jesus is saying, he's para, he's alongside you, but he's going to be in you. Thirdly, upon the coming upon of the Holy Spirit as promised by Jesus in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not you shall receive salvation when the Holy Spirit comes inside you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 8:14-17 says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. Christians believed, but as yet they had not experienced that third preposition of the Holy Spirit, the upon. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. This can't be the in experience, because that happens when we receive Jesus as Savior, not when someone lays hands on us. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to the disciples in the upper room and he said, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Then the very next verse, he said to them, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, after that, when Jesus was leaving this earth, after they had received the in experience, he told them to go preach the gospel. And then he added this, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Here's Luke's further account in Acts 1:4-5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And again, Acts 1:8, so you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the result of that is the power to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And the power to live this Christian life. Now, I want to give you another illustration before I do. I want you to bring your attention to the word another when Jesus promised another. If I had given an illustration to you before this, I might say, I want to give you another illustration. It would be an illustration, but it would not be the same illustration. It would be different. We just had Shelley speak to us. If I said we're going to have another speaker in addition to Shelley, that person would be a speaker like Shelley, but would be very different from Shelley. When Jesus said another in John 14:16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, speaking of the Holy Spirit. Here, the word another means another of the same kind, a helper just like him. And you would know what this helper would be like because he'd be just like Jesus in his intentions and his behavior. Jesus was going to heaven. He was leaving. But this helper that he was going to send, the Holy Spirit, would stay with us, even be inside us. See, if I had this... Wait, I don't know if I want to tell you this now. Okay. So I've got this. This is you. This is me, okay, before we get saved. This is the Holy Spirit. Before we get saved, he comes alongside us. Now, if you're really thirsty, you just had dinner, so you're not really that thirsty, but picture a time when you're hot and you're thirsty, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside, and he's got water. You know, this is Jesus. I've got life for you, and we say, I need that life. So this is para. Then when we give our lives to Jesus, surrender our lives to Jesus as his Savior, we are filled with the in of the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't intend for us to stay like this. And I'm not going to show you because I don't. Melissa's here, and we don't want to get the carpet wet. I'd get in trouble, see, yeah. So, but you get to this place, and then Jesus comes along and says, wait, there's more. Now, we've got salvation here. We've got a lot of gifts of the Holy Spirit working here. We've got him as our teacher, our guide, our comforter, all those things, great. But then Jesus says, no, there's more. And we say, I want more. I want it all. So the Holy Spirit pours it, and it's overflowing, and that's the upon experience. I cannot see in the Bible where those aren't the three functions of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody, famous evangelist, the past century. He said, I would never go back to the way it was before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Joy Dawson said, I was forever ruined for the ordinary. Oswald Chambers, written about him in his biography. So many of you probably use that most for my highest in your devotions. He said, it is not a wonder I talk so much about this altered disposition, he calls it. God altered my life. I was there when he did it, and I have never been the same. See, it's like when TV was just invented, can you imagine someone coming up to you and going, I've got this little box, and when you plug it in, you're going to see people. You're going to hear voices. And it's like, well, no, thank you. You know, I don't believe that. And then I say, watch, and I plug it in. You go, whoa, that's really cool. Well, that's almost like our salvation experience. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and says, I'm HD. Okay? Now, once you've watched HD, would you ever go back to watching regular television? Regular television's great. But once you've experienced HD, it's like, I'll never go back. And this is the intention of the upon experience of the Holy Spirit. At the moment we surrender our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, that in experience. We all have that if we are saved. Happens to all believers. He abides in us all the time. Notice he doesn't reign or rule in us all the time. That's optional. And that option is up to who? Us. I wish it were up to him. It's like having... Shelley mentioned Alexa. We have Google at our home. I have it in my office, and it's always ready to give me an answer. Anytime I talk to it, it's just waiting. but I cannot function from the benefit of the answer that my Google gives me unless I ask. With the Holy Spirit, unlike Google, he's always right. And the real benefit occurs, or I experience the real benefit when I walk in it or apply what he has instructed. See, he doesn't say what Google says, you know, I'm sorry I haven't been programmed to answer that, or I'm sorry I don't have that answer yet, or ask it another way. See, because no matter how you and I speak to the Lord, he's listening to our heart. But he's always there to listen. He's just always right there. And you and I, as believers, have access to comfort and understanding and wisdom and guidance and peace and joy and patience and gentleness and kindness and self-control, the ability to unconditionally love simply and only because the Holy Spirit dwells in us and is willing and able to work those things into and through our lives. Our part has two components, listening and obeying. Or as Jesus would say, hearing. For the kind of hearing that Jesus spoke of was when he says hear, he means listen with the intent to obey. I read a story about some job applicants in a telegraph office at the time when Morse code was being used. Morse code was a way of translating over the wires. I wasn't even alive, I don't think, during Morse code, but it would be like dots and dashes, so different letters would be dot, 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 or dot, dash, dot, like that. In fact, if I show you, like, Jesus in Morse code is dot, dash, dash, see, it would be a longer press on the wire. Dot, 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 dash, dot, 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 is Jesus. If you heard that and you were into Morse code, you would know what Jesus is. And these applicants were sitting in the telegraph office, wanted the job. And the Morse code in the background, as they were filling out applications, was spelling out, if you understand this, come directly into my office. The job is yours. One applicant was listening to the background, and he got the job. The sound, the Morse code, was hearable and understandable to every single one of them. But only one listened. And only one got the job. The telegraph office was looking for someone whose ears were attentive. And so was the Lord. So I want to spend some time looking at what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. The purpose of all gifts is revealed in Ephesians 4:12 for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up or the encouraging of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you see to excel. See, disobedience to this verse right here is what has caused a major amount of the problems in the church. Because people are zealous for spiritual gifts, they love spiritual gifts, but too many are not doing it for the edification of the church. They're doing it for that bottom. I want to seek to excel for me. I want the attention. I want the glory. I want the high. And Paul is correcting the church. God has gifted each one of us with gifts for the purpose of building up other Christians, with the exception of tongues, and we'll talk about that in a minute. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, builds up himself personally. The first lists of gifts can be found in Romans 12, and no one seems to have a problem with the gifts of Romans 12. Most, if not all, Christians believe that the gifts of Romans 12 are available today and should be used today, not only in the church, but in everyday life. I would call them the service gifts. The gifts of Romans 12 include teaching, administration, serving, helps, exhortation, mercy, counseling, and giving. We don't seem to have a problem with that. We need those in the church today. We see people functioning in these gifts today. There's no problem about these gifts. And we all should be functioning in some sort. We should all have mercy. We should all be able to come alongside each other in counsel. We should all be giving. But some people seem to excel in one or more of these gifts more than someone else. They're just better at it. They just have an inclination towards it. People with the gifts of helps, they just notice things that need to be done. They walk in a room and they see a chair that needs to be set up right. Somebody that needs to... You come alongside and they need a glass of water. You know, they just notice those kinds of things. But it's interesting. It's such a valuable gift. But people with the gift of helps think, didn't everybody see that person needed a glass of water? You know, didn't everybody see they were coughing? And, you know, no. The person with the gift of helps just zeroes in on that. People with the gift of administration tend to step in and they just make things happen. They think in that realm all the time. Now, unbelievers can have these same gifts. But in these cases, the prompting or the enabling is of the Holy Spirit for us. If a person with the gift of helps does not listen to the Holy Spirit, they're going to fix a table that doesn't need to be fixed. They're going to hand someone a glass of water that didn't need a glass of water. But when you have the gift of helps, there's a prompting of the Holy Spirit that shows you that there is a need. If you have the gift of administration, great organizer, but you will organize in a way that maybe God hasn't intended things to be organized. So as in all the gifts, they must be used with a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. These are examples of service gifts, not all-inclusive. I believe I have the gift to counsel. Every believer should be able to counsel. But some of us are equipped in different ways and have a more of a burden for one thing than another. I was just talking to a pastor's wife recently who said she said, I have someone else do the counseling. I just can't do it. But as I listened to her, I thought, you don't have a heart for your ladies. And you need to have a heart. You need to have compassion. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And what was happening in Corinth is the most excellent way is love, and they missed it. They were all into the gifts, the attention of the gifts, the highs of the gifts. Functioning in the gifts, you know, when God shows you something, we've all had that experience. It's a high, isn't it? You know, you go home like, wow, God showed me this. And the problem is you start having so much fun with God showing you this, you forget all about the Word of God. And there has to be a balance. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with we ourselves are comforted by God. Does that disqualify any of us? Anyone ever been comforted by God? Every single one of us, right? And it says, we should, because we've been comforted by God, be able to come alongside someone with any trouble. We always hear, oh, I like someone that's been through a divorce to talk to me. I can't find that in Scripture. Yes, there's some nice things to have someone that's gone through what you have, the commonality. But Scripture says if we've been comforted by God and we listen to the Holy Spirit, we should be able to come alongside anyone with any problem. I like to listen. I would rather listen than talk. I think I've been counseling enough. I wouldn't want to, but I think I could pull off a decent counseling session with my experience and my knowledge. And if I was counseling you, you'd probably walk away saying, wow, you really listened. You cared. Thank you. You know, you offered me some good advice. But see, that would be settling for good when I could have the best? See, have you slipped into mediocre Christianity, not tapping into the resources that God has for you? Do you lean on your own experience, your own skill? Maybe your walk with the Lord is good enough, and what you say and do is good enough, but it's not God's best. Have you settled for you? Have you settled for good when you could have holy? See, that's what God would have for us, to function in holy. The second set of gifts I will call, for lack of a better word, position gifts. God has placed people in different positions to accomplish his purposes. Those are listed as apostles, prophets. We find this in Ephesians 4. Prophets are those who speak forth the word of God, mostly because of a spontaneous revelation that he has given. Apostles, in terms of today, are church planters, then evangelists, pastors, and teachers. List isn't limited to that. I think of when the Ark of the Covenant was being built, and I love this. It says God anointed a carpenter. You know, so when there's a project of any kind that needs to be done in the body of Christ, God anoints us to do crafty things, which I am not anointed to do at all, but they're important. You know, they make things pretty. They make people appreciate them, and they're valuable. But here, I love God anointed a carpenter. I don't think anyone would argue that, okay, all of these gifts are important today. It's the next set of gifts that seem to cause the problems and dissensions in the body, and they are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. And further explained in 1 Corinthians 14, because the church was making a mess of them. And Paul had to explain those gifts and their proper use, because they were being misused. They were not being used for the edification or the building up of others, but for the attention of the one using the gift. But note, Paul's instructions were not stop it. It was fix it. And sadly, today, the church has decided to stop it. In an effort to avoid problems and controversies, these gifts are known as assigned gifts, but possibly, all but possibly, interpretation of tongues should be expected to be used on a daily basis, not just a church setting. And Paul is addressing these gifts because he had to, because the church was making a mess of them. Paul used the word church 7 times in 1 Corinthians 14 in moving towards the corrections he wrote about in 1 Corinthians 11:18. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. And tonight, the basis of what I want to do, I want us to understand the function of the Holy Spirit, but I want us to be stirred up, to be sensitive to him using us and speaking to us every day, all the time, to build up one another, to encourage one another. I know that's God's intention for us. Now, as we slow down and look at each of these next gifts, keep in mind, we operate in them or apply them in response to what God has shown us. The way God shows each one of us something is different. We can't put them in a box. You know, wouldn't you love to say the Holy Spirit, when he speaks to you, this is what it sounds like. This is what it like. He's not like that. We become more discerning about how he speaks to us as individuals as we spend time with him, as we obey him, to what we believe are the promptings or his voice. And sometimes it's trial and error. You know, you think, I think God told me that. And then you say, nope, that wasn't his voice. Okay, that, when it comes at me like that, I could see the self in it. And you just start learning. I've used the example before, but when I was a group leader at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, we would get every year the list of people that would be in our groups. Now, you're talking about a big church, so they don't know me, I don't know them. And my phone call would be, hi, this is Kathy Dickinson from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. You know, you're going to be in my Bible study group. In a couple weeks, if I call them, I could say, hey, this is Kathy Dickinson. After a little while, I go, hi, this is Kathy. They would know. A little while longer, I was able to just call and say, hey, hi, Kathy. They were used to how I spoke to them. They were used to my voice. Now, if I called any of them right now, 20 years later, and I said, hey, who are you? And so when we back off and don't spend time with the Lord for a while, all of a sudden it's like, I don't hear his voice. I don't recognize his voice because we haven't been used to it. But we get used to how he speaks to us individually by listening, by hanging out with him. I can't say that I can think of a time when I just could say, thus saith the Lord. You know, like, I know God is saying this, unless I'm speaking of his word. Until it came to pass. I was like, ah, that was the Lord. I love the example of Jeremiah the prophet. The Lord told Jeremiah that a relative was going to come to him and want to buy, ask him to buy his land. And Jeremiah wrote, the Lord told me. And you think, wow, Jeremiah, how did you know that? But he wrote, the Lord told me, in hindsight. It wasn't until after the relative came to him and approached him and wanted him to buy the land that Jeremiah wrote these wonderful words, then I knew it was the Lord. Here's the prophet Jeremiah. And the Lord came to him and showed him something, but he wasn't sure. It was when it happened that he said, then I knew it was the Lord. See, that's called stepping out in faith, comparing it to God's word. God will never tell someone something contrary to his word. Then doing what we believe God has said to do, or say what he said to say. It's a still small voice. It's a speaking to you that you just feel like that didn't come from my thinking. It's an out of the blue thought. And as we look at each of the gifts, notice how valuable they can be in everyday lives. First of all, word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a supernatural ability given for direction and guidance. Now, wisdom is the proper application of facts or knowledge to handle something we hadn't thought of as far as a gift. How many times do you wonder, what should I do about this? What might I tell that person that is talking to me? What might I say about the dilemma they're going through? I remember someone sharing with me about her son just had really bad temper tantrums. And as a teenager, he would just get in her face. And she got before the Lord and said, what do I do? And the Lord just said, tell him to sit down. You ever told somebody that's angry to sit down? For some reason, it just diffuses the anger. And she watched him just not be able to stand up and yell and scream. That's a word of wisdom. Do we need that on an everyday basis? Absolutely. Jesus told us to ask and we shall receive. It's paying attention when someone's name pops in into your head. Oh, Lord, do they need a card? How can I pray for them? See, everyday stuff that we're missing out on. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And what's the result? He shall direct your paths. Well, God directing our paths, well, that's wisdom, isn't it? Go this way, do that. And then the word of knowledge. Supernatural ability given to know things we would not know naturally. It's a knowledge concerning people or situations. I can't tell you how many times I look to the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom or knowledge about something. Typically, especially in counseling, when someone comes to me, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to give pat answers. I learned that that's not love. And so while the person's talking, I'm shooting up arrow prayers. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you see that I'm not seeing? Because we can jump on the first thing a person says. And when you ask the Lord, he'll say, there's a heartache there. That's why they're angry. And then you say, something hurt you? Did you get hurt in the past? And you watch, and I think one of my favorite things in ministry is what I call the moments, you know, when the light turns on and you just go, I hit it. And it wasn't me. It was the Lord. And see, we should have that in every day, just talking to someone. Lord, what are you seeing they're going through? And he will speak to us. I call them Holy Spirit moments, and I've grown to cherish them. Just last afterglow, I came in, and May's been just a really hectic month for me. And I'd been working like on 3 messages at once. And I got into the afterglow time, and my mind was just, I kept on thinking of things. And I'd write them down, and then I'd think of another message, and I'd write it down. And I couldn't settle down. And I went back to Cindy and Cheryl, and I said, I can't stop my mind from spinning. You know, will you pray for me? And they prayed for me, and then Cheryl looked at me and she said, I feel like the Lord's telling me you need to go sit in a corner and just worship him in your prayer language. That's a word from the Lord. And I went and I sat down, and that's just what I did, and I could feel the Lord just calming me. And then I could get back into the afterglow and pay attention and worship as the Lord would have me do. Simple. But she listened. See, she prayed for me, and then she thought, what do you want to say to Kathy? The simple question, Lord, what do you want her to hear? You need to go sit down, you know? And I did. And then faith, supernatural ability given to believe God for unique circumstances, to have extraordinary confidence in the will and purpose of God. Now, these sign gifts are not something we can call up on demand. Wouldn't you love, you know, I need some knowledge right now. You know, someone come up to you, give me a word from the Lord. It doesn't work like that. He decides, except for tongues. There are times when God just shows us something special, or in the case of faith, you believe a little more that God's going to do something. Many times God's just waiting for us to ask. The gift of faith is often the ability to kind of just push through the odds, the things that hold you back, because you just feel like God's showing you to do it. A few years ago, I was having a conversation with 2 other ladies about decorating. I think it was for a retreat. And people that have that gift, that creative gift, they say something really weird. They say, can't you just see it? And I always say, no, I can't. You know, I need a picture. I need something on paper. And one of the ladies who I had been counseling, and they knew about it, so it wasn't a breaking of confidentiality, she looked at me and she said, you do that when you counsel. And I said, what? She says, you have the faith to see what God's going to do in someone's life. And I thought, I do. You know, I've been doing it long enough and seen God work enough, and I know the Word of God, and I know when someone comes to me with a problem, I can see, hang in there, seek the Lord, and God can fix you. And so it was just neat for me to see, I have that kind of faith. God has given me the faith to know that He can change anyone. And I get this excitement about that. I had a little piece of paper, and I wasn't sure how it was going to be applied, but it just flashed in my mind. Psychologist was quoted as saying, we can't change people. We can only teach people how to modify their behavior. True. God changes people. And see, I know that God can change people. Healing. Supernatural ability given to be God's instrument to heal those who are sick and who need their health to be restored. Sometimes God just gives us an extra amount of faith about someone's healing or God's ability to heal, and we just pray more fervently. And because God has given that gift, very often he uses someone to do healing. Sometimes our hearts are just drawn to different giftings. My friends and I did a spiritual gift test one time, and one of the gifts was, the gift of mercy was separated into being drawn towards people with emotional pain and being drawn towards people with physical pain. They're smiling because they were part of it. And Shelley was the only one that had the gift of mercy for people with physical pain. I have the gift of mercy for people with emotional pain. If you're hurting emotionally, I'm right there. If you're hurting physically, as a pastor's wife, I care, so I'll follow up on you, but I'm not, like, drawn. And so we were out at the spa here doing the test. In fact, we were responsible for the rule of how late you can stay out. But we were doing this test, and we realized Shelley was the only one out of, I think, 8 of us that had this gift of mercy for physical healing. And a lady came up to me, and she's talking to me, and she starts backing up, and she fell into the spa, clothes and all, glasses and all. Every single one of us laughed, except Shelley. Shelley said, "Are you okay? The thought never crossed my mind." And so you have gifts that you're just, you know, you're just better at, you're just drawn to, that someone else might not be. Now, you're never going to come to me if you're sick. Working of miracles, a supernatural ability given to perform something that is humanly impossible, that defies the natural laws of God's universe. A miracle is God's operating according to higher laws than the laws of nature. We don't understand God's ways. There are times that God works a miracle through someone. Something you know just couldn't happen unless God did it. And he often uses people to work through. And then there's the gift of prophecy, a supernatural ability given to speak forth the word of God. Not limited to a foretelling of the future. It's for building up, for exhorting, for comforting. Said to build up, stir up, cheer up. It's telling someone something that you feel like God has shown you for that person. A word from the Lord to that person. I love this gift. Not only when God shows me something to encourage one another, but it so blesses me when someone comes to me and says, you know, I feel like the Lord wants you to know. And sometimes, you know, it's one of those tough days, and they come up and they say something, it's just like, I know you didn't know what I've been struggling with, and God showed you, and he used you to encourage me. That's everyday stuff, girls. Discerning of spirits, 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. It's a supernatural ability given to know the source of spiritual activity, whether or not the source is the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit. The ability to recognize false teachers or a lie from the truth. See, 1 John is saying, you shouldn't need a teacher to say, hey, that person is bad news. That person is into bad stuff. The Holy Spirit is in you. We all have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to tell that, but some people are more sensitive than others, and they can just peg when something is off. And then tongues. A supernatural ability given for prayer and praise to God in a language that is unknown to the one speaking. Prophecy is a message from God to the people. Tongues is coming from you speaking to God. That's why we call it a prayer language, because you're speaking to God. It's praying like we do in English. For the same reasons we pray in English, but we're praying in an unknown language, a language we do not know. And that's why speaking in tongues is referred to as a prayer language, because it's praying in a different language. Many people have shied away from this gift because it has been so misused. And very often people take on some kind of spiritual supremacy because they have this gift. Speaking in tongues is the Holy Spirit enabling your spirit to pray. So it's praying right. It's praying perfectly. It's praying with the right motive. When we pray with the right motive, when we pray according to God's will, 1 John 5:14 and 15 tells us we can have this confidence, this assurance that God hears us and we have what we've prayed for. Anybody want that? You know, how many times do we just really not know how we're to pray? Or we pray selfishly? And praying in tongues, you're praying in a way where you're hitting it. You're hitting God's will. And in praying in tongues, you have this vocabulary that you don't have in English. I mean, after you praise the Lord for a while, I want new words. I mean, like, you know, we say, Lord, you're awesome. Ice cream is awesome. And we just called the Holy God awesome. And I used to get so frustrated. It's like, I want words that connect just perfectly. Well, praying in your prayer language does that. A year ago, last Christmas, Gia was doing a Christmas thing, and she was going to be speaking and doing worship, and that's little, you know, that was kind of a new thing. She hadn't been doing it much, and she called me and was nervous, and pray for me, and I was working on a message for our church, and so I said, okay, I'll pray for you, you know, and I stopped, and I started praying for her, and I started praying in tongues, and I realized that as I was praying, I was saying a certain word over and over again. And I didn't know what the word was, but I just recognized, huh, I keep using that word when I'm praying for Gia. So I felt like the Lord said, look it up. I had my computer right there, so I typed the word in. And it said Arabic for singer, one with a beautiful voice. I hit the ground. You know, I was like, whoa. You know, so I texted you and I said, I don't care what you're doing right now, you know, text me right back. And she was like still into her message and I was like, oh, that's nice. And I said, let me talk to the pastor's wife because she's a reactor, you know, she'll be excited about this, you know. But it's connecting, it's speaking to God, and it's something that is so good that people have so messed up. When we pray in tongues, we get a better sense of what God wants to do in a situation or what's really happening in the spiritual realm, whether it be for ourselves or for others. I love when someone comes up to me and asks for prayer. A lot of times I'll say, do you mind if I pray in my prayer language? And God will show me something that to be able to say, you know what, the Lord, I felt like the Lord said this. And they'll go, wow. That's it. God spoke. Now, I need to pray in English. That's good. Paul said, I'll pray in English. I'll pray in tongues. I'll pray in both. I personally believe the gift of tongues, because of its purpose to edify the individual believer, is for everybody. Now, you've got people on both sides that will say, no, it's not. I actually believe that. In a lot of ways, all the sign gifts are available for everybody. You know, God just on those, he decides when to give them. Gift of wisdom is available for all of us. The gift of knowledge is available for all of us. But tongues is different because we can pray in tongues any time we want to. And we can stop praying in tongues any time we want to, just like we can in English. Over the years, I prayed for many, many people for their prayer language, and for the most part, most get it. Either while we're praying, or sometimes they'll go back and they'll, you know, keep pursuing in the privacy of their own room. Sometimes it's immediate, sometimes it's later. But the biggest hang-up I can see is many people who don't get it have a fear to overcome. Or they're analytical thinkers like me, and they'll get a sound in their head. You know, they're worshiping the Lord, and they'll get a sound, and you're making the sound. You're moving your tongue. The Holy Spirit doesn't take over. But it may be something like, bah. And you should speak it forth, and more will come. But if you're analytical like me, it's, oh, what was that sound? Bah. B-A. I wonder if that's God. And then you go, no, he wasn't doing anything. And go, you just got back in your head again. It's not a question of spirituality. That's what trips us up sometimes. And you know, I mean, don't you look around and sometimes you know that someone speaks in tongues and they have a horrible walk with the Lord? And you kind of go, wow, you know, why did the Lord give them that gift? Because he wants us all to pray better. He wants us all to pray more. And he's not saying, I'm honoring you, I'm gifting you with this gift because you've been so good. It's a gift to help us pray more effectively. Has anyone ever heard someone pray weirdly in English? Yeah. Did you decide, well, I'm never praying again because she was really weird? Well, that's what we do about tongues, don't we? We hear something done weird in tongues, like, I don't want anything to do with that. That was a weird person speaking in tongues. Just like when you see a weird person speaking in English sometime. You know? You make the sound. You're in control. God does not take over and make you say things. He puts the words, or sometimes just a syllable, in your head. And you speak it, and you worship him. And you keep that mindset of worshiping him and praying to him. It helps sometimes if you're seeking your prayer language to have someone pray for you that's been used to doing that, because they can just verify, yeah, that's it. Because you doubt, you know, you start thinking, well, is that really real? That was, you know, they go, that's it. That's your prayer language. Satan loves to cause us to doubt because this is so powerful. Keep in mind, you're asking the Lord to give you this gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give you something contrary to that, and he will not allow Satan to give you something contrary. If you ask the Lord, give me this gift of the Holy Spirit, do you really think he's going to let Satan take over? If you ask the Holy Spirit to work, God won't allow that work to be of the devil. And then, lastly, interpretation of tongues. Supernatural ability to make known the understanding of one who speaks in tongues. It's an interpretation, not a translation. So I've noticed that people that tend to speak briefly have brief interpretations. People that speak a lot, say they have a lot of words, their interpretations have a lot of words. I've never seen this used in everyday life, but there's no reason why it couldn't be. My husband Dale has the gift, and I love it. Because when I have spoken in tongues in an afterglow, and I have to say that's my least favorite thing to do, and I've probably only done it about 10 times in my life because I don't like attention. And the moment you speak out in tongues, you have everybody looking at you. But I've learned I'm not going to go home and hate myself, you know, when I feel like God has told me to do something. But it is such a joy to me to have someone that I trust when Dale says, this is what you were saying. And I know, wow, it's so very precious. I've never used that gift or had that gift. I've heard that sometimes people that have the gift, they'll see just words going in front of them. Sometimes they'll just have a sense of what is being said. In all of these gifts, some people function in them or use them more than others. But I'm convinced that it has more to do with people expecting God to speak and listening with the intent to obey than anything else. It's not a question of spirituality. It's a question of believing God wants to work in our lives every single day. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to do that in and through our lives. when I met with the ladies on the East Coast, it was interesting because two of them said to me, I'm good. I have a good walk. I'm satisfied where I am spiritually, and I don't need anything else. And as I shared and the other lady shared, it was really neat because at the end of the conversation, both of the ladies said, oh, I want more. I want what you're talking about. As I said, D.L. Moody, famous evangelistic preacher, thousands of people were saved under his ministry before he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm satisfied with what God is doing in my life. And then he had these two old ladies that came up to him and said, we're praying for you. And he said, what are you praying for me for? Why don't you pray for everybody else? You know, my life's too good. And they said, we're praying that you get the power. And he said he was offended, but it ate at him. And he finally had those ladies pray for him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I will never go back to the way I was. And my challenge to you tonight is, have you come to that place where I'm good? I'm not interested in more. Or has the Lord kind of whetted your appetite tonight to say, you know what? I'm tired of trying to do God's things in my strength, in my understanding, in my head. And I want to do God's things with God's power. And I pray, and I hope you are challenged by that tonight. Will you pray with me? Father, I praise you that you have not just left us to our own strength and our own power to walk in this life, Lord, because, Lord, we would so fail miserably. But Lord, we just get so complacent and satisfied with the way things are and just really, Lord, lazy. But tonight I pray for myself and all of us that we will not settle for anything short of listening to you and believing you want to speak. Lord, you have given us ears to hear. We need a heart that wants to. So stir us. Stir us in a way where we do mighty things for you, for your glory and your honor, and to care enough about one another to never settle for just our own thinking. And we ask this and thank you that we can. In Jesus' name.